Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to give you a very warm word of welcome today to our service, and we do trust that God will bless us today as we meet together around the inspired, the infallible, and the inerrant Word of God. We pray that God will bless His Word to our hearts, and that indeed He will meet our needs, because He has promised to do so. He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ." We're going to bow together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless are coming together. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee again that we can come to Thee in the attitude of prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for every blessing that Thou hast bestowed upon us in heavenly places in Christ. And we thank Thee, Lord, today for the gift of Thine only begotten Son, the One who stepped out of the ivory palaces of glory and come into this sin-cursed scene of time, was born of the Virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, and lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life, and then poured out His soul unto death on the old rugged cross of Calvary, that we might be saved. And how we thank Thee today that the Word of God reminds us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless our continued fellowship around the Word of God. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us, and lead us and guide us into all truth. For we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. And we're going to read the scriptures from the Gospel according to Luke. If you have your Bible, we'd invite you to turn with us to the Gospel according to Luke, and Luke's Gospel chapter 23. And it is a very, very, very familiar portion of God's Holy Word, speaking about the crucifixion of our Saviour on the cross of Calvary, and on either side, the malefactors, the dying thieves who were crucified with our Saviour. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, the Word of God says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. We're going to join together in the singing of our second hymn, great old gospel hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Well, we have been reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 23, this wonderful account of the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, and the thieves, one crucified on the right hand and the other on the left. It has always intrigued me, this story about the dying thief, the one who came to know Christ as his own and personal Savior. Because I believe that in the conversion of this dying thief, this dying criminal, we find the answer to many, many questions that people ask concerning the gospel and salvation. For instance, people ask, can a man or woman be saved at the very 11th hour? Is there such thing as a deathbed conversion? Can a man or woman who has lived an exceedingly sinful life, can they then come at the end of that life and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior? Will he accept them? Will he take them in? People say, can a man or woman be saved at the 11th hour? Can they come after an exceedingly sinful life? Well, could they then know whether or not they were saved, or whether or not they were ready for God's great eternity? Could they have the assurance of a home in heaven? Can they be sure that they will be with Christ for all eternity? And I feel if you look again at this passage of Scripture, you will find that the Scripture answers in the affirmative to all these questions that people have in their minds. So I want to think with you today about the doctrinal creed of a dying criminal. We've read about the two thieves. One man listened to the crowd. The other listened to the Christ. One man looked to our Savior and realized that he is the sinless Savior, that he is the King of the Jews, that he is King of Kings, and that he is Lord of Lords. In Christianity, all the great denominations and the great churches have their credo or their doctrinal standard, whether it be the Westminster Confession of Faith, or the Savoy Confession, or the Baptist Confessions, or whether it be the 39 Articles of Anglicanism, but all churches have set forth what they believe. And as you read this story of the dying thief who turned to Christ and was saved for time and for eternity, thank God we get a glimpse, as it were, of what he believed and the faith that he had, the faith that he exercised in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting to read the words of the Scriptures here. And in verse 40, speaking about this thief, it says, the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? You see, both thieves had been railing on Christ. Both thieves had ridiculed him. But then this man began to realize that there's something different about the Savior. And as he would rebuke his friend, the other thief, he says, dost not thou fear God? So we can say today that the dying thief believed in God. We live in an age when many would deny the existence of the Creator. We live in an age when many have invented ideas, philosophies, systems for themselves whereby they can interpret the visible facts of the universe without a Creator. But the dying thief, he believed in God. Stephen Charnock, one of the great Puritan preachers, he was commenting on the verses in the book of Psalms that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And Mr. Charnock said, a man may be very, very clever. He may be an intellectual. He may know many, many things. But he said, if he doesn't know God, then he is a fool. The dying thief believed in God. I want you to notice also in verse 42 that he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed in God. He believed in life after death. He believed there is such a thing as eternity. Men today say, we live in this life, we come to the end of our life, we die, and that's the end. There's no more. But the Word of God, of course, teaches us that there is a heaven to be won, and there is a hell to shun. The Bible speaks about eternity. And the Word of God, in fact, tells us that God hath placed eternity in the hearts of men and women. That men and women, behind it all, behind the facade maybe of religion or atheism or anything else, they know in their heart of hearts, God has put eternity. They know that they're not just here for a little while and then that's the end. But they will be somewhere in God's eternity. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And this thief believed in God. He believed in life after death. I want you to notice also that he believed in judgment for sin. In verse 40, he answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knew he had lived a life of crime. He knew, as we say, the long arm of the law had caught up with him. And now he's dying on a cross. And his life's blood is ebbing from him, and he realizes that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he freely confesses this, and he says, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, of our sinful actions, of our sinful thoughts, of our sinful ways. The Bible says, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. The Word of God says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And this dying thief, he believed in judgment for sin. He believed that sin has its consequences. And dear friend, today, the Bible reminds us that whoso committeth sin, the same is a servant. Or the word is a bond servant, a bond slave of sin. And sin will have its consequences in your life, in time, and in eternity. But thank God, this dying thief, as he looked to the Savior upon the cross of Calvary, that bleeding form upon the cross with a crown of thorns, and the blood streaming from those wounds, he realized that Jesus is the only Savior. He says in verse 41, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, the Lord Jesus, the King of the Jews, the man who has a kingdom, the God-man, this man hath done nothing amiss. He called him Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Dear friend, there's only one Savior. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women are not saved through the church. They're not saved by baptism. Here's a man dying on a cross. He couldn't come down from the cross and be baptized. He couldn't come down from the cross and join a local assembly. He couldn't come down from the cross and try to make up for his evil life by doing good deeds. No. There's only one Savior. And the Lord Jesus is the Savior. And as this dying thief looked to Jesus, and the old hymn writer talks about the Lord looking upon us with languid eyes, suffering there upon the cross, this thief realized Jesus is a sinless person. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He's dying on the cross, not for any sins of his own, but he's dying as our substitute. He is the Savior who is sinless and who is the substitution. He said, who would be slain, who would go down into death, who would take our sins upon himself and bear them away. He is the sovereign Savior. He is the Lord. He is the King. He has a kingdom. And he's the only Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But the thief believed in God. He believed in life after death. He believed in judgment for sin. He believed that Jesus is the only Savior. But he believed that there must be repentance. That there must be repentance. And here he acknowledges his sin. We indeed justly. And he cries out, Lord, remember me. He acknowledged before Jesus, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I now repent of my sin. General Booth, the great founder of the Salvation Army, said there would come a time when men would preach about heaven, but they wouldn't speak about hell. When they would preach about salvation, but they wouldn't mention repentance. But that was the very message that our Savior started with as he began his earthly ministry. He called men and women to repent. The apostles called men and women to repentance. John the Baptist called men and women to repentance. Repent means to turn around completely, to change direction, a man or woman heading down the road to a Christless eternity, repenting of their sin, turning to Christ, being saved. Thank God, instead of heading toward hell and a lost eternity, they begin to march upward to Zion, to heaven, to the home, to the Eden above. The thief believed in repentance. And the beautiful thing is this, that when he came to Christ, and in verse 42 he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We see that he believed in the assurance of salvation. He received the assurance of salvation. Jesus said unto him, verily, or truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why, he could go to no greater authority to find assurance of salvation than the very Son of God himself. And Jesus said, I say unto thee. Jesus gave him assurance that that very day he would be with him in paradise. The old preacher used to say, it is the blood of Christ that takes our sins away, and it is the word of Christ that takes our doubts away. And when men and women repent of their sin and turn from their sin and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Jeremiah the prophet says, ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, if ye shall search for me with all your heart. And when we seek the Lord with our whole heart, thank God, we come to that experience of salvation. Dear friend, today, as you've heard the word of God, maybe you've never come to Christ. You never repented of your sin. Well, stop trusting in yourself, in religion, and good works. And put your faith and your trust, like this dying thief, in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For thank God, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God help you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. We're going to close in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the example given here in Holy Scripture of this man who came to Christ at the very end of his life. We thank thee, Lord, that his sins were forgiven. They were all washed away. He found the assurance of a home in heaven and peace with God. May it be so. Bless your word to our hearts, and may we know the blessing of God upon our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.